The lesson this morning goes kind of hand in hand with that. And I don't know how many of you made New Year's resolutions. Some of us make New Year's resolutions, if you remember back to January 1st, I kind of talked about that a little bit, and how we might make a goal or a point to accomplish a certain task. And you may have done like I have, and you said, you know, I'm going to cut back on the sweets. And that lasted for me until somebody brought a brownie that inside of that brownie had a chocolate chip cookie and an Oreo cookie on the inside of it. And if you've never ventured into that world of bliss, I encourage you to do so. That thing was so good. So the cutting back on sweets lasted about 2 weeks for me until I saw that dream come true. And that was awesome. And so we set these goals, we set these, you know, kind of these New Year's resolutions to make us better, don't we? And we make this goal for us to be better people, to be a better me. I want to do something better. I want to do this better. I want to, you know, be better at certain things, and I want to lay off certain things. I want to step away from certain things. I want to be a better spouse. You know, I want to be a better husband to my wife, or I want to be a better wife to my husband. I want to do things that are right in the sight of God. I want to be a better parent. I want to raise my kids up the way that God wants me to raise kids. I want to be the kind of kid that is more respectful to my parents, and that I honor my parents more. I don't reach out to them in wrath and anger, and I don't retaliate against them, because I know that the things that they're doing to me and for me are for my own good, that I can grow. I want to be better at controlling my anger, controlling my wrath. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to do things that would deceive people. I want to cut back on the snarky sarcasm type remarks that I do. I want to be a better Christian. I want to step back from greed. I want to withhold myself from pornography. I want to be a better leader, not only within my family, but within my church, within the kingdom of God. I want to be a better me. And sometimes we set out to do just those things, and we say, you know, I might be a redhead, but I'm going to control that anger, you know. And then we try real hard to control that stereotype, you know, of that I've always been, you know, I'm angry, I'm hot-tempered, you know, I got a short fuse, and we say all these things. You know, we set out, we try it for a week or two, like we try to hold back from the sweets, and somebody presents us with a great opportunity to have great sweets, or somebody presents us with an opportunity to be angry, and we become angry, and we fall right into the trap. And then we say what? We say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I'm just genetically made that way. My mama was that way, and I guess I'm just that way too. And my daddy, he was always angry too. He always had a short fuse. I guess I'm just angry too. That's the way I was raised. That's all I know. That's all I know how to do. We make excuses like that, like to say, well, I'm just a worrier. That's who I am. I'm just one who worries. I was going to try to be better at that and withhold my worrying and withhold my anxiety, but that's just who I am. I'm just going to be that way. So we give up on being that better us that we so desperately desire to be. Perhaps it is the fact that we begin to do better. That we begin to be the better spouse, that we begin to be that better parent or that better kid or whatever. And then we have a whole nother group of challenges that comes with that of, well, I'm doing pretty good, ain't I? We have that avenue of pride starts to creep in. We get big-headed of how good I'm doing because I'm being a better me. I'm doing so good. And then we fall flat on our face. We have that pride. So how is it that we become a better me? What is it that we do? How do we go about that? You know, so many times I think we look at it as a checklist. You know, I've got this to-do list over here of all this stuff to do, and I can go through here and mark all these boxes off, and I'll be good. And I got this list of stuff over here that I'm not going to do, and I can go through here and mark all these boxes off, and I can be a better me. That's just like the losing weight. You know, it's not a great mystery of how you do it. You have more calories burned than come in. It's just the challenge is actually fulfilling that, because people make brownies with chocolate chip cookies and Oreo cookies on the inside of it. It's hard to step away from that. Hard to step back from that. It's not really like a challenge of what do I need to do as far as the checklist go. The problem is actually doing it. And so when we look at things within a Christian aspect, and we look at things that, as we would say, a practical lesson of things, tell me what I need to do and tell me things that I don't need to do, and I'll just go out and hit the checklist and I'll be good. But that's really going to just visually make you a quote-unquote better me. You haven't really maybe made any changes. So when we look at those type of checklist type things, we come to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 is one of the many times that we are given such type checklist, if you will, where it says this: therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Things to do, things to not do, right? Things to put off, stuff to start doing, a checklist, if you will. And that's a good list of stuff to do. And I don't want to take anything away from having a list of stuff that, you know, I need to do more of this and I need to do less of this. And there's nothing wrong with having a checklist. But the question is how do you really change who you are to be that better me? To be that better you that you want to be, other than just simply marking off a quote-unquote checklist type stuff. Well, if we'll back up to where before we got to this part in verse 25, Paul gives us a little bit more insight into what we should do and how things should be changed with inside of us that makes us better Christians. Beginning there in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says this: so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You see, it's not that those people who are Gentiles don't care about being a better person. It's not that they don't want to be better. I talk to people who are in the world every day, just as many of you do, who are without God, those people who would be Gentiles, those who walk without God. And it's not that they don't want to be good folks. It's not that they don't want to be better. It's not that they don't want to be a better parent for their child. It's not that they don't want to be a better role model for people to look up to. It's not the fact that they don't want to give up certain lusts of the flesh and lusts of the eyes and lust and the pride of life. They don't want to give up those things. You know, hey, this is not good. I want to give this up. I want to start doing more things. They desire to be better too. But the fault is they are darkened in their understanding. They're in the dark, aren't they? They don't have the light that is given to those who walk in Christ, those who are not Gentiles. They do things in darkness. Let's suppose you go into a deep, dark bedroom with no windows, only one door, and you walk into that room and you were to close that door behind you. Now, upon entering that room, you notice that the room was a complete and total pigsty. Let's perhaps suppose this was a kid's playroom. And there's toys everywhere. And little bitty army men all over the floor, and there was all these little baby dolls over here on the side in this corner, and you walked into this room, and you shut that door behind you with no windows, with no lights, complete and total darkness, and you were going to begin to clean that room up and make it clean, neat, and tidy. You think you're going to be very successful in that? No, probably not. You're going to scream and yell because you stepped on a Lego barefooted, and you're going to throw stuff that you pick up because you stepped on another army man who had his sword up and he stepped through your foot too. You're going to be upset. Why? Because you're trying to do something. You're trying to do something that's better. You're trying to clean something up, and you're in complete total darkness. You see, the problem is not the fact that people want to, that people don't want to do better. It's the fact that people aren't doing things and wanting to be better in the light. They're trying to do things better and they're in the darkness. They don't have understanding. They don't have that enlightenment that is given to us who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. People do things and they attempt to get better without the light of God. You see, we need to grow in our understanding. Paul is telling them to grow in what they're hearing from him, what he's teaching them, and what they need to learn from Paul through his writing of God's Word, that they need to grow in that understanding. You see, it's more than just a checklist. It's an understanding behind the checklist. You think about the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus said to them, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder," he says what? Say, he who hates his brother has already committed murder in his heart. Well, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Well, I say to you, whoever lusts after a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. He has all these things that is a deeper and a better and a fuller understanding. It's more than just a checklist. And while the checklist is good, and I don't want to shorten that in any way, we have to have that understanding of the why. That helps us become that better us that we so desire to be. Continuing on here in our passage of verse 19. And they, having become callous. There's calluses on these hands. From work and refusal to wear gloves. His hands are calloused. Know what that means? It means they don't get poked like barbed wire like they used to. I mean, sticks don't scratch them like they used to. They've gotten tough because they have habitually been exposed to things that now no longer bother them. We habitually expose our minds, habitually expose our spirits and our souls to things which hurt us in the eyes of God. We become callous. We become hardened. As it says there, continuing on in the verse, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. They're hardened. They are hardened within their heart. They can't do better because they've become hardened. That hardness of their heart has kept them in the dark and in that dark room where there can be no understanding. Because that hard heart does not let light in. So we have to peel back the callus. We have to get back to the open, the flesh, the pure, peaceful, genuine spirit that should be in all Christians. Just like Paul said, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. You learned in a different way. You accepted Him. Your heart was not hardened. You were not blocked off. You have not rejected the light. You accepted Jesus as the Messiah. You were not hardened or shortened. You were humble and loving within your heart to Christ. He said, if indeed, in verse 21, you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You're going to put it off. You're going to lay it aside. And what he's talking about when you're putting this off and you're laying it aside, it is not this idea of like when you sit down to eat and you go ahead and grab a piece of pie because you know that when you go back through at Meemaw's house this afternoon, there ain't going to be no pie left because you was at the front of the line and everybody else is going to done got all the pie. So you grab you a piece of pie when you sit down to eat. What do you do with that? Well, you lay it aside, don't you? No, I'm going to save that right there for the end of it. Unless you're like me and you don't want to run out of room for the good stuff, so you eat that first. But you lay that aside, don't you? But you don't lay it aside with the intention of, you know, I'm putting it off. You're laying it aside with the intention of going back to it. And so many people that I see become Christians, they lay aside the old man for a season only to go back to it. Only to return back to it. I'm going to lay it aside right here where I know where it's at, where I can go back and get it when I get ready. But what Paul is talking about is laying aside the former manner of life. That thing's not going to be former if you intend to go back to it. You're laying this aside with all intention to never return. You're putting it away. You're laying aside that old self. Why? Because you have become a new self. You have buried that old man in baptism, and we're not in the business of resurrecting people. God is, and so we're not going to pull back up that old man to walk around with him every day. So put aside these things. Lay aside the old self, that what is corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. That's you. Verse 23. That you might be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It doesn't matter whether you've never obeyed the gospel or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years. Sometimes we just need to renew the way we think. Renew our mind with the spirit of godliness, with the spirit of holiness, with the spirit and with the intentions to be like God. Make it anew. Make it fresh. Make yourself what God wants you to be. That's the key to making you a better you, is renewing yourself to walk like God wants you to walk. Verse 24. And put on the new self. We talked about putting off the old self. Put on the new self. You got to put on something new, something else. You reaffirm that, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. The likeness of God is righteous and holy and pure and truthful and faithful. So we are to be like God. You see, we've been given the example to be better by Christ Jesus, who is the exact example of God on earth. Of what God would look like in the form of man, that is Jesus Christ. And He gave us that insight to be a better me. And for you to be a better you. To just simply renew yourself, to put on that new self, to be in the likeness of God. That's what we're striving for. That's what we all desire to be. And that's the key. That's the real key to being a better you. It's to just try to be like God. It really makes you better when you truly, genuinely sit down to try to be like God. And we become better when we focus more on changing our thinking and our understanding and less on those checklists. When we try to set out to change our thoughts and our minds to be like God, the checklists to be like God will take care of themselves because we've changed from the inside out instead of just trying to change what's on the outside. Instead of just trying to clean a dirty cup on the outside like the Pharisees, cleanse the inside of the cup. The better you 2.0, it waits for you. And when you are joined with Christ through baptism, you get to live like God. Because you are without sin. Because you are blameless. Because you are perfect. Because you are holy in His sight. because you've renewed your mind to be like God. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're not that better you 2.0, then you need to be that. God wants you to be that. God wants you to come, and He invites you to come and be with Him, to be baptized into Christ and to join that body of Christ that you could live with Him in glory forever. And perhaps you are a Christian already and you've made that joining with Christ. You've been baptized, but you have lost your thinking. And you need to renew your mind and your spirit. You have that opportunity to do so as well. And we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.